join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Up and go give each of these individuals a hug and tell them, I'm serving you and here's my act. On your mark, get set. If you saw somebody raise their hand, you don't have to go. Words of affirmation. Who would say, you know, that's kind of mine? Words of affirmation. Raise your hand. Real high. I want to see. I'm kind of trying to get to know our congregation a little bit. Words of affirmation. Pastor Tim, that is such a beautiful shirt you have on tonight. Wow. It's changing our lives. Okay. What's one of the other love languages? Quality time. Who needs quality time? That's your thing, quality time. Now, would somebody pause, hit the pause button and tell me, what's your definition of quality look like? I'm sorry? In their presence. Go ahead. You're all by yourself. So when your husband leaves you all by yourself. In all my years, I have never heard a woman define that as quality time. It's typically thought of with the spouse. Okay. We might need risk management back here for other reasons. Okay. Let's go to another love language. What's the other two that we've got missing? Gifts. How many of you just love gifts? Wow. We got a lot of folks with their hands in the air. One more time. I want to see how many of you love gifts. All right. And then what's the last one? Physical touch. One more time, I didn't see very many hands. Physical touch. Okay. How many of you really can't determine which one because you want all five? That's probably the category I fit in. I will tell you, though, acts of service is not really my thing. Many of you have asked, so it's just going to be easier to tell everybody up front. So last week, my daughter was driving to school. She thought somebody was going to go through the intersection, and they started to. And about halfway through, they slammed on their brakes, and she was following through. And so in her little Mustang, she rear-ended the car in front of her. So we went, we got the car, we had it looked at. You know, the bumper was about to fall off. The hood on the Mustang was just jacked in all different ways. And so I thought, silly me, I would take it to the body shop Monday morning, first thing. We had a great Power Now conference. I was juiced. I was reliving the services. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to go out, crank up the car, and take it by the body shop. And so I go out, and she has one of those safety features where if you don't unlock that car and hear the beep, that car won't turn over no matter what you do. So when nothing happened, I realized the battery was dead. So I was trying to get the hood up and finally did, and I thought I had it secure, and I was underneath trying to tie the bumper on when suddenly I heard that not so secure hood fall. And the next thing I saw was a planet that NASA has not yet seen with a telescope. And so two broken bones later, I have this beautiful accessory to carry around until I get the cast on. And so, you know, I would during this time love your love language of gifts and words of affirmation and acts of service. And the doctor did tell me that things like goldfish, cookie bouquet cookies, and chocolate would really stir my healing. So I just want to let you know up front kind of what happened. But that's the real story. Although Dina did say, and next time you do that, I'll break both hands. So, you know, we'll just let you sort out what the truth is. But how many of you would say that for you, Power Now was really a tremendous weekend and you experienced a real visitation of the Holy Spirit through the weekend? Good. We have had a number of testimonies. And what I'd like Joel Fortenberry to do first is I'd like Joel to stand up because Joel took Friday night's message that our pastor from Magnolia preached. That pastor preached on the truth that each and every one of us represent the body of Christ. Joel had been in and out of the hospital through the week, had been really, really sick, had some infection, I believe, in both your foot and your liver. Just your foot. In my story, it's your liver, it's your left ear, and your eyebrow, but just your foot. So you're in the hospital, you're telling them, look, I've got a meeting tonight I have to get to. So he gets out of the hospital, he comes to church Friday night, hears this sermon, take it from there and share your testimony of what God did in your body.
The leg was hurting that night after I got home. And so I went through the thought process, and
Amen. Natalie Forte wrote this to the praise team. Her testimony was this. Hey, y'all, I have to share this. How many of you can hear Natalie? Hey, y'all, I have to share this. It may just be for me personally, but maybe it will speak to someone else too. There are so many things I've been holding on to and holding back out of because of fear and the lie of insecurity. And I realized that while holding on so tightly to my comfortableness, I have not been in the right position to fully receive His power and release the authority He has given to me. It's an awful place to be, so in love with Him and yet lack the strength of Him. And I've determined this weekend I'm not going to allow myself to be in a place of insecurity anymore. He has called me, and I am answering, and I'm going to do all that He has asked me to do, and I will surrender all. Who better to give all that you have to the one who had already paid for it all? How dare I think that He cannot handle my fears and worries? I challenge each of you on the praise team to ask yourself, have I laid down all of my life on the altar of sacrifice? He will use you if you just let Him. No more halfway on the fence of being scared and still keeping control. I'd rather fall off the fence than be halfway over and still keep my own control and my own securities. Really, think how uncomfortable it would be to sit on the fence. I'm just saying. So the hymn, I Surrender All, has been saturating my spirit. And upon searching for this hymn today, I found a song called I Surrender by Hillsong. Look it up and really listen to the words. So thankful for His call. Love y'all. Natalie. These testimonies have just been coming in throughout the week. And one of our families wrote and said, PGT, I hope you're having a good day. I wanted to share something with you that is pretty amazing. So I know I've spoken to you about our financial situation. We have had some incredible debt that has been hanging over our heads for some time now. One of my prayers during the Power Now conference was to let go of the stress and worry of trying to get out from underneath it and to trust Him to take care of us. I petitioned to Him, and I told the Lord what I wanted. I told Him five very specific things that I needed and wanted God to do for my family in 2013. And the biggest of those was to get out of debt. So last night, as I received my tax return, I recognized that it was more than I could have ever imagined. It was double and it was triple checked. And as I shared with my wife, we both broke down and began to cry and began to praise God, because only God and His goodness could be the testament to a testimony that says that now not only are we completely out of debt, but we have extra to bless the church with. Love you, Pastor Greg, and can't wait to be in our meeting tomorrow. Now that's a wonderful testimony. God is doing incredible things in this church through your lives as you hunger and thirst for Him. The Bible said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. In talking with Pastor Clint, it's even getting into our young people. He talked about one of the young ladies who brought one of their friends to church a week ago Wednesday night. And last Wednesday night, she went down to the altar with her friend, and that friend gave her heart to the Lord for the very first time. That's what being a church to this community should look like. Pastor told me of another young girl that did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and left so challenged from the service last Wednesday night. As I understand the story, this young lady went home and was in her bedroom seeking the Lord and got baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. How many of you know these are the kind of testimonies that radically change and empower everything about our lives? Back when we were in Texarkana years ago, a very similar season hit our church, and one of the young couples had come to us, and they told us that they were really seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the husband in particular. And he talked about how he had been seeking for it and seeking for it, and it just seemed like it wasn't for him. And in his frustration, he locked himself in the bathroom, and he said, Lord, I'm not coming out of here until I am baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, for most men, they can stay in there for a pretty long time. Can I have an amen? Do you know, he lingered and he tarried and he waited. And sure enough, God visited him there. And he is the only person I know that has gone on record to say, I got baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit while waiting on God in the bathroom. You know, these are the kind of testimonies that do radically change our lives. And a newer family to our church is here tonight, and she's going to come, and she's going to bring her husband, Joe. Rebecca, come and share your testimony, because in the last 2 or 3 weeks of your life, God has done some pretty incredible things, and you took some time and put this together. And so we'll let you kind of share your testimony of what this means and what it represents and how God's power has begun to move you forward and change your family's life. You have to hold that mic real close so it'll catch your voice.
I started coming here in October. I was invited here actually by one of the youth that I had met when I was in the hospital. And we were relocated here for my job in May, and we lived in New York City. So my job moving me from New York City to Texas City wasn't really funny. As you can imagine.
It's still a city.
So they say. My company had brought me here to make changes in the smaller restaurant. It's a lot harder to fix a small one than a big one, like Times Square. So he brought me from the largest to one of the smallest. And I was doing well, and I was fixing it, and I was working 55 and 60 hours. My husband does the same thing. And I had been running from God for 3 years. I lost a baby at 5.5 months, and I became very angry and bitter with God. Because I had wanted that third child so badly. And as I was going through the labor and delivery of this baby that I knew was not going to be born alive, I heard God tell me, "You don't understand this now, but I have a plan and I'm making something good of your life." I met my husband a month later, and 4 months later we got married, which everyone thought was crazy, but I wasn't sure at the time what it was, but something was telling me that that was the right thing. Still kept running from God, still angry. We moved 3 or 4 times. Neither one of us could feel settled. Neither one of us felt like we belonged. I just kept wanting something bigger and better. And I don't feel at home, and I don't have enough friends, and this is not enough fun. Little did I know what I was running from was my calling, and that I couldn't be happy anywhere. Because if you can't be happy in Times Square, where can you be happy?
Did you ever go to the Dick Clark thing on New Year's Eve and stand in there with all those millions of people?
I was working.
You were working.
We watched it because I worked right across from it.
That just seems like crazy down there.
It's insane. It is.
We now return you to your regular scheduled testimony already in progress.
So we moved here in May. It was a hard transition for all of us, going from being extremely social and busy to not knowing anyone and working too many hours to meet anyone. And I began to sink into a very, very deep, dark depression. I kept trying to fight it. And one day I went to work. I worked a 12-hour shift. I don't remember that. Don't remember being there. Don't remember driving myself to the hospital. And after a week in the hospital, I realized what was happening and why. And one of the little girls that I met in there invited me to come to this church. And I was so moved by the first service that I knew without a shadow of a doubt that this was going to be my church home. And I was raised in church, so I knew what was right. And I gave my life back to God that Sunday. And one of the ladies in the church, Lisa, not sure her last name,
Ross.
She came up to me and said, "I'm not trying to scare you." And that scared me right away. But she said, "God has given me a word for you." And she said, "I don't know you. I don't even know your name. But I know that you're going through something very dark, very lonely. She said, it's going to get worse, but then it's going to get better. And your life is going to be more peaceful and more happy than you've ever been in your life. And at that time, all the meds in the world couldn't make me believe that. I was on 4 medications just to function. And I was going through therapy. As I was getting better, we were going apart. And we were on the verge of divorce. We had split up, and I was just a wreck. And I kept talking to Pastor Clint and Pastor Greg. I don't know what to do, because I feel like God gave him to me. And I started to get angry because I felt like he was taking something I loved from me again. That Sunday, another lady came up to me. I'm not even sure of her name, but she said, this is your year for your family to heal. This is your year to be called. And the next Sunday, he asked me if he could come to church with me. And he grew up communist in Europe, and church was not an acceptable thing, so he had not been exposed to it. And for those of you who've met him, he's very intelligent, he's a talker, he's a facts kind of guy. I need to see it to believe it. And I felt like he was just coming to church just to keep me from moving out. You know, I was like, okay, but don't do this just for me. This needs to be for you. And that Sunday, Pastor Greg's sermon was everything that he needed to hear. And he ended up giving his life to God that Sunday. My daughter, a few weeks before that, my daughter started sinking into a depression as well. Our family's been through a lot of trauma, and none of us ever dealt with any of it. And she started going to a day hospital, and I was like, Lord, it's too much. I can't take anymore. You said you will not give us more than we can handle, and I'm there. I thought things were starting to get better, and 2.5 weeks ago, I found out that she had been cutting and trying to commit suicide. So I was like, okay. She said, Lisa said it was going to get worse. I didn't know it was going to get this bad. So we put her in the hospital and just began to pray. I could have fallen apart then, because that's a really hard thing when you can't help a child. And as I'm testifying, I'm also asking you to pray, because she's very angry at God. She had a good example. So we're praying that she's home. She's doing a lot better. I am now down to 1 medication on the lowest dose from 4.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And
doing what you love.
I was able to resign from my job, which was very toxic. I'm able to be home with her now.
Do you work with toxic people too?
I used to.
You used to, okay. Yeah.
And no. My husband was as well, and both of us were in toxic jobs, bringing that toxicity home. And you know, I'm sure my daughter suffered as a result of that. We prayed about it and prayed about it. And since then, he's not only been taken out of that job, he was promoted with quite a substantial raise to a new place.
Yes.
And it gets better every Sunday off, which as a restaurant manager, you do not get anywhere.
That's wonderful.
So God is working. I was having some other side effects that none of the doctors could really determine what was going on and why. And my psychiatrist said, I have to tell you, I feel like this is an inner struggle. She said, your body is fighting something in your subconscious and you have to let it go. And then Pastor preached about strongholds. And I realized I still had a lot of anger for traumas in my life. And that Sunday I came up and prayed, and I said, God, I can't carry it anymore. Just take it. And since then, I have felt like I'm floating. You know, the worry for my daughter is still there. The yearning for her to be saved is still there. She is coming on Wednesdays, so she's here. She's getting exposed. No pressure. But God is really doing a work in our lives, and I just want to thank everyone that's made us feel welcome. This church has really changed my life and my family's life. And this, this I made from home. I'm doing home decor and art and different projects. Some of it I'm selling online, some I'm doing just for private people. And I was thinking, you know, God's the one that gave me the opportunity to do this. I want to give something back to my church. We don't have a lot of money right now to do anything, but I could give something back to the church. And when I told my husband about it, he said, it needs to be big. It needs to be big. What the church has done for us is big. So I really didn't have a specific plan in mind. I just kind of went with it. And, you know, it's bright, it's shiny, it's sparkling, and that's how I feel when I'm here. And that's how I see all of you. And I just want to thank you.
Before you guys go sit down, I feel like Joe and his wife, the two of them represent God's desire for each of us and for our families. And what I want us to do is be aware of the fact that we really never know what's going on in the heart, in the home next to us. We never know what someone is carrying with them as they walk in. We never know the weight, the pressure, the fear, the worry, the anxiety that they're under. But testimonies like this are designed by God to stir our hearts and to strengthen and release our faith to believe for ourselves and to believe for others. And I feel like we would miss a moment of God's opportunity if we didn't just, first of all, take our hands and as a point of affirmation, just pray over them and then let them reach their hands towards us, and let's believe for our families, for our marriages, for our children, for any and every need that we would have, because God is into restoring families. Can I have a good amen?
Amen.
And he can start with yours beginning right now. So Lord, we as a church family, we take our hands and reach them towards Joe and Rebecca. And we thank you for them, for they are part of us. You have sent them to us and entrusted them to us. And so, Lord, this is an open door for us to embrace them, have something to talk about with them, and to begin to be a community that gathers around them as a shield to protect them, to be new friends to them and new family. So as family members, we plead the blood of Jesus over them. We place angels round about all that would be important in their life, knowing, God, you have begun a miracle of restoration, and you're not going to finish until it's completed. And we say the promises for their home are yes and amen. And every time we see this picture that she has put together as a testimony, we're going to stir up the reminder of what you're doing in our lives right now. 2013 is going to be a year of restoration for our families too. It's going to be physical, it's going to be relational, it's going to be emotional, and it's going to be financial. We're not even going to know what to do, because this building is going to be filled with rows of our family coming back to the Lord. These are the first fruits, Lord, and we will now bless them. So we speak blessing over them. We declare this is God's intended desire for them. And in the same breath, Joe and Rebecca now speaks life over every family in this church. They just speak it right now in Jesus' name. They just speak life. They just speak healing. They just speak hope. They just speak restoration. With them, I declare that peace is going to come into every situation you have carried in your heart tonight as you've come into this room, that only you and God knows about what you're walking through. That is probably why you're here tonight, because God has something promised for your heart and for your home. for your marriage, for your children, for your parents, for your health, for your finances. We declare with God's name, which is above all names, peace in your heart and peace over your home. Now, God, we just lift our hands to you, thanking you for the miracle this year will be for our families. And God, we thank you. This is the last year we're going to have to pray these same prayers for our family. We're never going to have to pray for the prodigals in our family because they'll all come home for good. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've had the wonderful privilege of spending personal time with the two of you. Come here, guys. We'll just leave that right here so people can see that. This is just a wonderful opportunity for people to come and introduce themselves to y'all. So we're excited about that. Tonight we're going to continue looking at effective prayer and the golden rule because I believe that God desires to answer our prayers. And we see in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22 that the Lord is talking. And so we see him say in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22 in the New International Version, this declaration from Christ himself. He says, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Let's say that part together. It will be done for them. Let's say that again. Doesn't that sound good? It will be done for them. That's where the Lord is in whatever is facing you. He is committed to his will being done in you, for you, and through you. He is in on this prayer being answered. So therefore, he says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. Sometimes we relegate forgiveness to someone else. We are waiting for someone else to take responsibility to come and release us and free us. Especially when we feel like we didn't do anything wrong. Especially when we feel like someone took our mercy, took our grace, disturbed our peace, caused us pain by something they did or said. They leave us wounded, and in that place of our wound, we'll have a tendency to allow unforgiveness to begin to grow. And so while we're holding on to that unforgiveness, we don't realize that by holding on to it, it begins to take a hold in us, a hold over us. And we are relegated to almost a neutral position, thinking if they would ever come and ask or apologize, ask for forgiveness or apologize, then I can heal. Then I can be free. That's not necessarily the spirit of the word. That's not the teaching that Scripture teaches us. You see, forgiveness is not as much for others as it is for you. You ought to go through the Rolodex in your hard drive right now and pick out about three people who have hurt you. And right now, just in your own breath, release forgiveness to them. Because in releasing forgiveness to them, in giving to them what they do not deserve, you receive for yourself what that unforgiveness demands. Because it's when you release others on the outside that ultimately you find release for yourself on the inside. See, you hold an ability to overcome the lack of peace, to overcome the anxiety, to overcome the hurt or the wound. And it's not waiting for them to come apologize. It's you giving to them the very thing that God gave to you through Jesus Christ on the cross. You give them mercy. You give them grace. You give them forgiveness. You give to them what they did not earn. And can I tell you, that's a healthy spiritual discipline and lifestyle. Because all the days of our life, we're going to have to live life with people. And some of the most difficult people to love and walk in unity with bear the same blood you have in your veins. That's why sometimes it's easier to love someone else's family than it is your own. Some of you laugh as if you may have some history and not so ancient history. But the Lord is saying in his own way, look, forgiveness releases the power of your faith. You can't afford to hold back in prayer forgiveness towards someone. Too often we relegate ourselves to waiting to get a pound of someone's flesh. And that day never comes. And so that very thinking begins to eat away at our flesh. Don't believe me? Wait till you're in a conversation and their name comes up. What begins to turn? Your flesh. Found that to be true? There's something inside of you that suddenly Tums and Rolaids can't fix. You start thinking about the offense, the wound, what created the unforgiveness. Don't believe me? Drive by an old place that fired you, let you go, or gave you an early retirement. And just by virtue of seeing that building, guess what happens? A pound of your flesh starts to turn. You feel that internal churning and burning. You see, it's eating away at your peace. And not just your peace, but it's eating away at the power in your faith to move mountains. He finishes by saying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may what? Forgive you your sins. Again, in previous weeks, we learned that some of the greatest challenges, some of the greatest obstacles, some of the tallest mountains that we will ever face this side of heaven, they're not on the outside, they are on the inside. So Christ, he's teaching on this powerful subject of answered prayer. And in Matthew chapter 7, he encourages us with some simple steps of when we pray. When we want to see mountains removed, we are to begin in a spirit of forgiveness. And as we walk in that spirit of forgiveness, he says in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. I want to pause and tell you right now that some of you, you don't even realize it, but your prayers are being answered. You've asked, he's answered. You've sought, he's been found. You've knocked and the door's been opened. But what you are waiting to see on the other side of that door is breakthrough instead of bitterness. He's already given to you what stands between you and that mountain being removed. Sometimes we don't realize it's answered prayer when we pray, and suddenly these things come from inside us that we thought were resolved. Suddenly we start to realize, man, we are not getting along with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I've even seen in my own life where if I have an unresolved loss towards someone and I have some unforgiveness working in me that I don't see but the Lord does, I'll start running into that person. Not see him for 5 or 10 years and all of a sudden they're at the League City Shipleys. Don't they realize that between here and North Houston where they live, there's 300 other Shipleys. What are they doing in my Shipleys? Have you found that to be true? Suddenly they come up in conversations. You'd forgotten about how bad they hurt you. It's been so long, it's so in your past that you can't see it in the rearview mirror of your heart. But all of a sudden, you had the audacity to ask God to move some mountains in your life. You had the audacity to move from the edge of your chair to stand up in life and say, you know what, I'm going to take back all the things the enemy has taken from me, and I'm going to start being courageous in my faith only for previous battles that you thought were resolved to begin showing up on your radar. And you've asked yourself, man, what is going on? Well, what's going on is Matthew 7. He's beginning to answer your prayer by showing you what keeps you from your prayer being answered. Thank you for the 3 head nods, the 4 yawns, and the 3 that looked at their watch to see if it was 8 yet. For everyone who asks, receives. For everyone who asks, receives. For everyone who asks, receives. I think it's wise of us as maturing believers to ask ourselves, what are we receiving? In the Love Language book, it really encourages you to look at yourself and ask what you've been giving. So often you and I give ourselves too much credit in relationships, and we think everybody's enjoying us a whole lot more than they really are. ask them and they'll tell you. But because you can't handle the truth, they can't tell you the truth. How many of you are breathing? See, we're all in the process of receiving what we've been giving. And too often we're so self-centered and so selfish and think the world revolves around us that we give ourselves so much credit that we think everybody's enjoying us when in reality everybody's annoyed by us. But everybody has to be careful because we know the lights went out in our heart. And we're blind in this part of our life. And if Tom ever recognizes that he accidentally turned on the light, off the lights, he'll turn them back on. And my sermon illustration will work perfect. Just like we had it planned, Tom. Great job. Give Tom a big hand. I want to just pause and say one more time how much I appreciate my great teaching. I'll tell you, sometimes I just amaze myself. I'm really getting a lot out of it tonight. I was going to brag on Tom, and he's like back there doing this, so I had to take an off-ramp. So there we go. I think we should be wise in everything we do to pause and ask ourselves, not just what we're giving off, what's the vibe we're giving off, but to recognize one of the ways of measuring that is what we're getting. The seed faith principle is not just financial. It's emotional. It's relational. It's physical. Today when I was talking to my doctor, I like to ask him questions. I like to get in his world, and I like to ask him about things. And he asked me the question that got it going. He's saying, when's the last time you had a full physical? And I said, well, you saw me. All of me about 6 months ago. Remember? He's like, oh. And he was like, you know, I'm glad to see that at your age, you're really working hard, you're exercising, because so often by the time I see people, it's too late. There are things I can do to help them, but the most important thing to do is to help yourself. And he says, so often people get to me and they've let this thing get out of control or that thing get out of control. And then they come to me and they want me to give them a medication that will fix 10, 15, 20 years of not eating right, of not getting enough rest, of not drinking enough water, of living under a constant diet of stress. They want me to fix it. And when I can't, they want to find a new doctor. And I told Dr. Brown, I said, you know what? That's the way it works in my job too. We must begin. He said the most powerful thing is preventive health maintenance. And I think we've got to stop and do a little bit of that right now. It's not just enough for us to ask what vibe we give off, but to ask, what are we receiving? What are we receiving? In this relationship, does it seem to be characterized by a cycle of strife, envy, jealousy? And have I looked at that and said it's their fault and not taken responsibility for my contributions or lack thereof? I think you and I have to recognize that God is saying in a big way, I want to answer your prayers. I want you to be effective. But you're going to have to live a life that looks a lot different than most people live their life. You're going to have to commit to the golden rule. Not doing unto others before they do unto you in a negative way, but doing unto others as I did unto you. Amen. Even as I unconditionally loved you, you are to unconditionally love others. Now that doesn't mean that you're to become others' doormat and allow others to push you around and abuse you and be ugly or become toxic to you. But what he's talking about is a lifestyle that makes every effort to live in peace, a lifestyle that makes every effort to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. That's what he's talking about here. He's saying, hey, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more then will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, how many things? do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. I think we have to pause. And I think each of us need to take about 30 seconds and just think, what am I giving off? And I'll answer that question by, what am I most constantly receiving? Ask yourself, if you're not happy in a relationship, or a relationship continues to be struggling, or if your finances can never really seem to get beyond a mountain, you can take these passages of Scripture and you can use them in everything. Ask yourself, what am I receiving? And is it a reflection of what I've been giving off or not giving off? See, I think our leadership team, there was about 70 of us here on Saturday, we had a come to Jesus meeting. And it was a lot more than just some notes, and we take notes and pretend like we're awake with our eyes open. But since Saturday morning, leaders in the church have come to me and singled me out, and they've said, I want to apologize. I've had leaders apologize for what they've been doing. I've had leaders apologize for what they haven't been doing. And each of them that have come, you could just see the relief. You could feel the release. You could see the peace. You could feel the energy. I was thinking as they, you know, after the first one, I thought, well, that's cool. And then after about the ninth one, I thought, that's God. Amen. Who'll be the tenth right after service? You'll stand in front of God and everybody here and go public with what you've not done or what you've been doing. Or would you rather me just pick someone? That could be fun. But I thought, wow, God's doing something in us that releases seed into this ministry to have greater harvests. People are asking. People are seeking. People are knocking. And God is answering by bringing to the surface the things that hold people back, that hold people down, that keep their harvest from finding them. See, the two great things about coming to church that you're responsible for is purity in your heart and faithfulness. That's what releases seeds to the congregation. What does the Bible say in Matthew 5 about those who are pure in heart? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will... One more time. Blessed are the what? For they will what? Do you want to see God in your marriage this year? Do you want to see God in your relationships this year? Do you want to see God in your finances this year? Do you want to see God in your physical body this year? Do you want to see God in your local church this year? Do you want to see God? If you want to see God, you've got to allow God to speak to the thing that's been speaking to you, that's been holding you down, that's been holding you back. Because sometimes the greatest giants in life are not on the outside. The greatest giants are on the inside. And God is saying, if you'll have the courage to allow me to make your heart pure, then you will see me. And John wrote and said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And if you want to let him out, let him in. Let him in to what's heaviest in your heart. Let him in to what's heaviest in your heart. And then just be faithful. Be faithful. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, he'll finish if you'll be faithful. Please tell your neighbor, act like this is the greatest point you've ever heard and he'll let us go home. It's growing. You're tempting me to finish with prayer. Faithfulness. Here's my point. This seed, this principle, has a cause and effect. And either you're doing it or you're not. Look at what you are surrounded by. Look at where you are. Look at what you have. Is that enough? Or is there more that God has promised you? Because last time I looked, there's more to my dream than this. I didn't just pray and say, oh God, if we just could have a great power now, I could die happy. And it looks like you're taking me out one limb at a time, God. No. Ask yourself, do you have a desire? Do you have a dream? Do you have a prayer for more? Then you can't be content. And what the Lord is saying, don't stop there. Ask. Seek. Knock. Give. 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 Give your way out of this debt. Give your way out of this debt. Well, mine's not about finances, Pastor. It's about a broken relationship. Still the same truth. Give. Give that relationship quality time. Words of affirmation. Acts of service. Goldfish and cookie bouquet cookies. Give. I think the Lord is saying, hey, let me loose, not on earth corporately only. Let me loose on your earth individually. Let me go to work on your behalf. Let me speak to the mountain. Let me rise up. Let me in so you can let me out. Let me speak to the things in your life that be not as though they are. Don't just sit there and do nothing. Stand to your feet. Take a step of faith. Put your hands together and begin to give what you need to receive that only I can do. That's the point. That's the point. Give, not what you need, give what moves that mountain. If it's relationships, if it's emotions, if it's encouragement, then find someone more discouraged than you. Find someone more jacked up than you. In this world, it won't take long. See, that's where I really think that what God is saying is, don't be selfish. Don't just sit there waiting for the answer to come to you. Asking and seeking and knocking. It's an action verb here. And so, Heavenly Father, we release our seed as a gift to whatever it is that we need you to do a miracle in and through our lives. For the mountain that stands before us, for the challenge that daily mocks us, taunts us and haunts us and tells us our things are impossible, that tells us it's too late for our miracle or it's too this or it's too that. We stand in front of that thing and in faith, we take a step of faith and we release what's in our hands and we begin to now by faith receive what's in your hands and we will give to whatever it is that stands between us and the dream you put in our heart. Now you use your microphone and you begin to pray. Before I say amen to my prayer, you go ahead and take whatever it is in your life and make a target out of it. Go ahead now by faith, like Joel did. If it's a physical thing, go ahead and speak to that part of your body and tell your body, you're part of the body of Christ. There's not sickness and disease in the body of Christ. Just go ahead and declare healing to it. If you're discouraged or if you're depressed, speak His courage, speak His strength, and realize that whatever you target, God will make a testimony. And before long, we're going to have walls filled with testimonies, just like Joe and Rebecca's. And everybody said, stand to your feet and you be a word of encouragement to someone around you because you never know what they brought to church with them tonight.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org. or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.